I feel like we haven't done this for a year already. So we're going to take a look at the fourth reading of Parshas Vayelech, and then we're going to take a look at the fifth reading of Parshas Vayelech. And between these two readings, we cover the last two mitzvahs of the entire Torah. Now, the Torah, of course, has 613 mitzvahs, as the Gemara and Maseches Makot tells us. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Meirasha Kehilas Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a Torah. Torah has the numeric equivalent of the word Torah, in other words. Tav Vav Resh Hei. 611. 611 mitzvahs we got through Moshe Rabbeinu, and two mitzvahs we got from God Himself. That was the first two mitzvahs we heard at Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, and Le'yilecha. So the last two mitzvahs of the Torah do not appear prior to the fifth book of the Torah, although most of the fifth book of the Torah is a repetition. These are two new mitzvahs that have never been mentioned before. And with this we conclude the magical number of 613. So let's take a look first in the beginning of the fourth reading, chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Devarim. It's Parshas Vayelech, and the verse is 10. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them that when you'll come to the end of 7 years, at the end or at the edge of the 7 years, the Moyed Shnas HaShemitah, this is talking about the appointed time of the Shemitah year. So in the post-Shemitah, which will be the year that follows the year in which the fields of Israel lie fallow, and that'll be when B'chag HaSukkot. And why is it B'chag HaSukkot? If the emphasis is on the year that follows the Shemitah, why don't you do it on Rosh Hashanah? Why don't you do it right away, immediately after the Shemitah year? And the Torah says why. Because we're utilizing the opportunity, B'vayik Chol Yisrael Le'ro'ei Sespnei Hashem Elokecha. We utilize the time that all of Israel comes to see and to be seen by God, euphemistically speaking, B'mokem Asher Yivchar, in the place that God selects and chooses, and there, Tikra Es HaTorah Hazeis, there the Torah should be read, neged, corresponding to Kol Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people.
That doesn't explain why it's Sukkot rather than Shavuot or
well, it does explain why it's Sukkot, because Sukkot is the closest festival to the year that's passed.
The year of Shemitah ends
right. On the 29th day of Elul, and then comes Rosh Hashanah, which is not one of the Shalosh Hagadolot, so not everybody came to the Beis Hamikdash for Rosh Hashanah. And they weren't necessarily there for Yom Kippur, but they would be there for Sukkot. Okay, so the time that you can have all the Jewish people, that's going to be Sukkot.
So you're already into the new cycle. You're not really in the Shemitah year.
We're no longer in the Shemitah year. We're Miketz Shev Hashanah. We're at the edge, on the other edge of the seventh year. Mm-hmm. But there's no time when everybody gets together in the month of Elul.
Right.
So we know it's Miketz. We know it's at the edge. But we also know that it has to be, if you utilize the natural opportunity when everybody's together anyway. When would that be? The first natural time for that is the holiday of Sukkot. So that's what we're talking about. Tikra es HaTorah Hazeis, this Torah should be read. Rashi tells us this commandment was given to Yehoshua. And it says Tikra. It doesn't say Tikra'u. It doesn't say you shall read. It says Tikra. It says you singular. Moshe Rabbeinu here is talking to Yehoshua. And from this we can understand, since Yehoshua was a singular individual insofar as his position, he was the melech, he was a king, proverbially speaking, over the Jewish people. And we learn from the appointment of Yehoshua how one has to appoint a monarch, a royal, a sovereign. And we had discussions about that, why Yehoshua was appointed in the way he was appointed, why wasn't he anointed. But at any rate, Yehoshua was a din of melech. He was the man, so to speak. And so Tikra Satei Razeis says, Rashi HaMelech HaYakeira. This was the Melech, or the person who would occupy a singular position like that. And where would he read from? It says HaTeira HaZeis. It says this Torah. All right. This Torah is pretty big. If we had to read the whole Chamishi Chumash HaTeira, we'd be there for a long time. And maybe more than a day. So Rashi says, that's Metchilas Eila HaDvarim. When he says HaTeira HaZeis, he says, you'll read this sermon over. Moshe Rabbeinu's final sermon, Moshe Rabbeinu's final teaching of Torah begins on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And of course, by Zayin Adar, he passes on. This is taking place on Zayin Adar, on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you'll read Mitchilas Eila HaDvarim, from the beginning of Eila HaDvarim. We know that we read until the middle of Parshas Vaschan, until the middle of Kriyashma, and then we read the Parsha of Ahoyim Shemaya, and then the Parsha of Aser to Aser are read, which is later on in Parshas Vei. And then we go through the blessings and the curses. We go to the pasuk that says, you'll place upon yourself a king, because this is the mitzvah of the king. As it discusses in the 41st page of Tractate Sota, that it says over there that the king would be neged kol Yisrael. Now, how could he be neged kol Yisrael? How could he correspond to all the people? It took him millions of people. So Rashi says the only way in a literal level it could be neged kol Yisrael is al bima, that there had to be a very large platform that was built. So he was standing in a raised platform. Because he was on a raised platform, everybody could see him, and he could see everybody. It was a bima shel eitz, so it was a temporary platform, not something which was permanently part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. It was made of wood. Shaya oisin ba'azara, they would build this enormous platform, this very tall platform, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The king would ascend the platform, and there he would sit, and they would read the Torah, and then the people would see him, and he would see them. And in this way, the mitzvah was fulfilled. And who should come? Who has to be there? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hakel, you have to actively gather. And it's pretty clear that the job belongs to the melech, because it's tikra, you should read. So if it's you should read, it seems also Hakel Esav, that the king has to be the one who causes everybody to congregate. Vahanoshim, vahanoshim, vahataf. The men, the women, and the children. Even the people who have joined the Jewish people who do not hail directly from the people who left the land of Mitzrayim, or maybe may not have ancestors who stood at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. All of these people, everybody called Jewish, must be there. L'man, in order, Yishmu, so that they will hear. L'man, Yilmidu, so that they will learn. The Yoru as Hashem Alekechem, and then they will have a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of profound respect for the Lord your God. And what is the point of having respect and awe for Hashem? What is it supposed to translate into? If we have respect, if we have awe for Hashem, it's supposed to translate into action. Namely, Vishamru, Lasis. This will enable them to watch, to guard, and to keep, to do, most importantly, Eschol Divrei HaTorah Hazeis, the words of the entire Torah. So this is how the 612th mitzvah is described in the Torah. Now we're going to move forward into the fifth reading. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yehoshua, I am going to be checking out. I'm going to leave. I'm going to proverbially go with my ancestors. And this nation, there's a very, very unsettling future I see. They're going to be rebellious. They're going to be abandon Hashem. And they're going to follow other gods. Oy vey, we always have. Create these foreign deities. Foreign deities doesn't necessarily mean an idol that's made of gold, silver, clay, wood, or marble. Foreign deities, ideology. Jewish people create ideologies. More than any other nation, we are responsible for some of the most dangerous ideologies, tragically, that we've ever seen, like communism and other things like this. And people worship this ideology with a zeal, an enthusiasm, a passion, a commitment, a devotion, which is totally transcendent of rhyme and reason, to the point of lunacy. It's not only self-depreciation, it's ultimately self-destruction. But they worship this with such a fervor and such a zeal, even if it's harming themselves, harming their families, harming what they want for their own being. It's bad for them. But it becomes like a religion. It becomes a religion when you worship Hashem. Worshipping Hashem is something which is supra-rational. It's beyond the call of duty, beyond rhyme and reason. When you worship an idol, it means you take the same capacity to be able to serve Hashem beyond rhyme and reason, and you harness that in the wrong direction. And you become a person who follows an ideology irrationally. Not in a way which is supra-rational, not in a way which harnesses your neshama and tethers you to the Creator, but instead, Rahman al-Utslan harnesses your neshama and the capacity that you have to be able to be dedicated to something, to the point of sacrifice, to the opposite, to something which is anti-God, something which is anti-Yiddishkeit. And again, communism is the perfect example. The Hasidim who were persecuted, who do you think persecuted them more so than anybody else? the Jews. The communists would give up. How many Hasidim were left in Russia already? 50 families, 100 families. It was the Jews in the Yevsektsia. The Jews said, no, we can't really be atheists as long as these guys are around. As long as they're still learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, our atheism is not in place. Our communist loyalty and devotion is no good. And they went after what each chassid with a zeal, unbelievable. In the end, communism destroyed them. The Yevsektsia themselves were killed in the end because it was a foreign deity. It mustered their capacity for devotion and love and loyalty in a way which is twisted and perverted away from Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu predicts all this. But he also tells Yehoshua that God is not going to be pleased with it. God's patience does run out eventually. And Hashem will hide his countenance, which is obviously anthropomorphical, not literal. But Hashem does say, Hanochi Hastir Aster, in the 18th verse of chapter 31, Hashem says, I will hide my face, a double concealment, on that day of all the evil that will unfortunately befall our people. And the reason will be because they followed other gods. This is pretty scary. Okay, but the fifth reading ends on a positive note. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua about the final mitzvah of the Torah. Verse 19, Va'ata! So what do you do now? When you hear about such a dark, gloomy, and difficult future, what you do now is you devote yourself to the Torah. Write for yourself this song. What's our response? Our response is to study Torah. Our response is to teach Torah. Teach the children of Israel. Sima befihim. Place it in their mouth. Leman tihi eli hashira hazeis. So that this song will be for me. La'ed bivnei Yisrael. As a witness, as testimony amongst the children of Israel. Rashi says, Es hashira hazeis. This song. What song are we talking about? So Rashi says, the Shira Hazeis here, Moshe Rabbeinu is introducing the next Torah portion, which is called Ha'azinu. And Ha'azinu is called a song. It's written in the prose of a song. Its style, its verbiage is poetic in nature. It's not easy read. It's like a song. So that's the Shira Hazeis that we're talking about. Ad v'chiper ad masei amay. However, as the sages point out, one is not permitted to write a portion of the Torah alone. So if you're writing Psukim of the Torah, you only write it in the context of the entire Torah. So the focus is Hazinu. And Hazinu is, in a sense, the song of the Torah. It embodies the essence of the Torah. But the only way it can be written is if you write the whole Torah and Hazinu is included in it. And from this we derive the concept of writing a Sefer Torah. It doesn't say, now you should study the Torah. We've learned about that already. It says, Va'ata kisvu lechem. You should write for yourself. And the emphasis on write for yourself, this is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, a mitzvah that's incumbent upon each and every member of Am Yisrael. So let's take a look now on page Kufayin in the Bureau
Book. What is Ohel Moed?
Ohel Moed is a tent of meeting. And that's the terminology that's used to describe the Mishkan, which was the temporary dwelling that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people built in the desert. But later it metamorphoses into Beis HaMikdash, which is permanent. And the difference between Mishkan and Migdash is Mishkan is transient in nature, and Migdash is permanent in nature. All right, so on page Kufayin in the Burim book, the Rebbe here in the Sicha begins with a quote of these different verses, the verse 12, which speaks about Hakel Asam, the mitzvah of gathering all the people. And then in verse 19, the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah, a mitzvah that's incumbent upon each and every single one of us. And the Rebbe begins his commentary with the following.
Which,
Page Kuf Ayin. It's Simon Chof Aleph. Chapter 21.
Yep.
Shtei mitzvahs elu. These two mitzvahs. Namely, mitzvahs hakel, the mitzvah of congregating the people and reading to them from the Torah once every 7 years, in the morrow of the Shemitah year, which is in the beginning of the festival of Sukkot. And the mitzvah of kesivat sefer Torah, the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah, in shtei ha-mitzvah so'acharenu is b'teira. As we mentioned, they are the two final mitzvahs of the Torah. Ha-chotmot et ha-Torah kula. This is where the entirety of the Torah insofar as mitzvot are concerned, is comes to its conclusion. This concludes the 613 mitzvahs. From this point and onward in the Torah, which is the last verses of Parshas Vayelech, Parshas Hazinu, and Zeis HaBracha, we have homily, we have inspiration, we have insight, guidance, uplifting verses, but we do not have mitzvot. The mitzvah comes to an end here. The 613th and final mitzvah is this business as Kisvu Lechem Es Hashira HaZeis. Now, this is the opinion of the Rambam. It's also the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch.
Did the Melech also read Hazino at Hakel?
The Melech did not read Hazino at Hakel.
No.
Now, there are some other opinions, other Rishonim, who held that there's a mitzvah of Berchu B'Torah Tchila, of making a bracha when you read the Torah. There is such an opinion. And that comes from Parshas Hazino, from the beginning of Parshas Hazino. But that is not, in fact, the sheet of the Rambam or the Sefer HaChinuch. There is an opinion that the prohibition of Yayin Nesach, of wine libation, is also talked about in Parshas Hazino, as it talks about Yayin Zvachemai. However, the opinion, as we said, of Rambam and of Sefer HaChinuch is that this is the last and final concluding mitzvah of the Torah. So the Rebbe here shares with us some insight via Shleimar, Sha'asiba Lekach. Perhaps the reason that this is the final mitzvahs of the Torah, shekol achas mishtei mitzvahs elu, that each of these two mitzvahs, misameles es hischadshutzei hamasmedes, this is indicative, or it alludes to, the continuous, fresh, novel, and dynamic nature of Torah, of Matan Torah at Har Sinai. The words of the Rambam, which are found in Hilchas Chagiga, where the Rambam talks about Yom Tov, and since this is a Yom Tov related event, namely on Sukkot, that's why the Rambam puts it in Hilchas Chagiga. There isn't something called Hilchas Hakel, it's just two like halachas, it's part of something that talks about Yom Tov in the Beis HaMikdash, coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam, when he writes about this mitzvah, he says, and here's a quote, Chayovim lahochen liba, the people who participate in Hakel, which is the entire nation, as we said, anoshim, noshim v'taf, men, women, and children. So if they ask you, what should we be doing? We're just supposed to be there in a bodily sense? Should we be there heart, mind, and soul as well? The Rambam says, yes, you're obligated not only to be there physically, corporeally, but rather with your heart, mind, and soul. And what am I supposed to be doing, heart, mind, and soul? Says the Rambam, chayovin, you're obligated, it's mandatory, lehochin libam, to prepare their hearts, lahakshiv oznam, to bend an ear, lishmaya, to listen. How should you listen? You should listen be'ema, you should listen with a sense of awe, you should listen with a sense of yira, of reverence, also with a sense of gila and rada, also with a sense of serene joy, but at the same time, with a sense of being almost trembling, overwhelmed from what's about to happen. So there could be a moments in our life where we're very, very happy, but it is a certain solemnity that comes along with that happiness. It's not a boisterous kind of happiness. It's a very serious, solemn happiness, right? Like a chuppah is a very joyous event, but it's not till the end of the chuppah. It's not like everybody jumping up and down. Everybody understands something serious is happening now. So the Rambam says this is the kind of feelings that should be punctuating our hearts and our minds during the Hakel. And is there a paradigm of this? Like, do it like. Should it be like a wedding? What should it be like?
Har Sinai.
Ah, very good. Rambam says, Ki yoyim, like the day, shenitna bay b'sinai, like the day the Torah was given at Har Sinai. In other words, the mitzvah of Hakel is directly linked to Har Sinai. In simple words, what's supposed to be accomplished through the mitzvah of Hakel? Is supposed to re-experience Sinai all over again. It's a mini Mount Sinai, because people forget. So every 7 years, we have to experience it all over again. We have to try to recreate the imagery, recreate the atmosphere, recreate the energy, the electric nature of getting the Torah at Har Sinai. That's what we're supposed to be doing by Hakel. So we see that the mitzvah of Hakel is linked to a refreshing our experience at Sinai. And how about the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah? So it's interesting. Our sages tell us in the Gemara in Menachos on page 30 that HaKosev Sefer Torah La'atzmai, a person who writes a Sefer Torah by himself. So what's that like? If you write a Sefer Torah yourself, it's like receiving it at Mount Sinai. And the Rambam actually quotes this in Sefer HaMitzvahs and in Mishnah Torah. He quotes the statement that the Gemara makes in Maseches Menachos. So we see that there's a link between these two final mitzvahs and the continuous connection to Har Sinai. In other words, it's almost like the Torah is like a circle. It ends where it began. It begins with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It begins at Har Sinai, and the circle concludes with mitzvahs that relink us to Har Sinai. Yachad Zeis, along with this, Kayim Hevdil Beilet Ben Shteya Mitzvahs. There's a very obvious difference between these two mitzvahs. They're very distinct from each other. The mitzvah of Hakel is a mitzvah tziburis. It's not a personal mitzvah, it's a communal mitzvah. It's incumbent upon all of us. The essence of Hakel is ma'achedet et ha'am kulo. Hakel, the mitzvah of gathering, of congregating, on the second day of Sukkot, listening to the Sefer Torah, is a mitzvah that unites us as a nation. The whole people together. The ilu, however, in sharp contrast, the mitzvah of kasiva Sefer Torah, of writing a Sefer Torah, is a mitzvah ishis. It's a personal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah shebo chayev kol adam miYisrael benifrad. Each one is individually obligated to write a Sefer Torah. In the Rambam's verbiage, mitzvah saseh, it's a positive mitzvah, al kol ish v'ish miYisrael. Each individual lichtov Sefer Torah, and he finishes off with the word le'atzmo. Not to write a Sefer Torah for somebody else. La'atzmo. Write a Sefer Torah and you should have a Sefer Torah. As the Sefer Achinuch explains, the essence of this mitzvah is that if you own a Sefer Torah, the likelihood is you will read a Sefer Torah. And that's why the Rosh Rabbeinu Asher says that in today's day and age, we have Torah Shebaal Peh, books of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a mitzvah for everybody to own Sfarim. Or in his days, before the printing press, to write Sfarim. In your own handwriting. To have Gemaras, to have Mishnayos, to have Medrash, and then the later codifications. Why? Because if we have these books, we will study them. There's a fascinating study that was released in the 1970s, and the study with the rise of television and people, you know, it was even before the technology, when people had the Kindle books, but even when people were just like learning things visually, and the study proved conclusively that a house in which there are books, there's a higher level of education. A house in which there are books, the children read more. Even if it didn't force the children to read, the fact that there are books in the house means they will read the books. So, of course, you have to ask them what kind of books you're going to have in the house. If you have books of Narishkeit, you're guaranteed they'll read Narishkeit. If you have books of Torah, you're guaranteed people will read Torah. That's human nature. We have something special with books, especially us, the Jewish people, called Am HaSefer, the nation of the book. So therefore, the Sefer Chinuch says, if everybody will have a Torah in their own house, what will happen invariably is that everybody will study Torah. So it's a very personal mitzvah. You have this, on one hand, very communal mitzvah, and the other hand, very personal mitzvah. So the Rebbe says that we can understand this as follows. L'matan Torah, in order to receive the Torah, kodma, there was a preface. There was a preamble. Anybody remember what that was? What did we need to do in order to get the Torah? We needed to demonstrate readiness. We needed to say, yes, we're ready. How did we say we're ready? We said, Nasa v'nishma. Exactly. And Nasa v'nishma represents two parts of our readiness for Torah. Nasa is the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Nasa says, we'll do. What do? You do mitzvahs. We said, we're ready to do what Hashem wants. We're ready to obey. But then there was the business of nishma. Nishma means listen. To listen means to learn. To listen and understand. That's the idea of Kabbalah Satera Atzma, to receive not only that we'll do the instructions of the Torah, but to receive the Torah itself, which would mean that we would dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. So one of the differences between Nasa and Nishma is that Kabbalah Satera is relevant for both for us as individuals, but also for us as a nation and a community. Let's talk about the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, as they say, are mitzvahs, are mitzvahs, are mitzvahs. You can't do mitzvahs your own way. I have my own individualistic way. I'm going to have purple tefillin. It doesn't work like that. Everybody's got the same black tefillin. The tefillin, they're all going to be the same. So I want to light Shabbat candles on Tuesday night. I think I want to have 3 days of Shabbos. It doesn't work like that. There's a limited amount of time. Here's when you can light the Shabbat candles. Here's when you can usher in the Shabbat. And you can't do it outside of that. In other words, the idea of mitzvahs are that they are something that equals the great equalizer. We all do the same mitzvahs. In a few days will be Yom Kippur. We're all going to fast the same way. Some of us will be hungrier, and some of us will be more tired, but we'll all be fasting. Same mitzvah. What are we doing? Not eating. That's what we'll be doing. So, kol adam Yisrael mechuyev l'kayim es ha-mitzvahs. Everybody's obligated to do the mitzvahs. So you say, oh, you're Orthodox. Ha! You have to do mitzvahs. I don't have to do mitzvahs. I'm not Orthodox. He says, sorry, there's nothing like that. Like, a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. If you're a Yid, you have to do mitzvahs. Well, I don't do mitzvahs. I'm sorry to hear that. You should. It would be ideal if you would. Nobody's more obligated. Oh, you're a Torah scholar. You should eat kosher. I didn't study Torah. Why should I eat kosher? Everybody's obligated in the same way. There's no difference between one Jew and the other Jew when it comes to mitzvahs. If you're a member of Am Yisrael, you're obligated to do mitzvahs. Kol adam Yisrael mechuyev l'kayim es ha-mitzvah b'eisei midah, the same measure. But learning Torah is very individualistic. This is something very personal. Why? Because it depends on your abilities. A person who's brilliant, a person who's educated, a person who's deep and profound has a sacred duty and obligation to study Torah in a very personal way, meaning according to their abilities, commensurate with your background. If you're capable of studying Torah on a high level, and you don't study Torah like that, instead you're just reading stories of the Medrash, you're falling short in your obligation. But a person who's not capable of studying Torah in a profound way, how should they study Torah? What? Torah has to be studied to the best of your ability. You know, there's a famous halacha that says that we mevatel Torah in order to hear the Megillah. We abrogate Torah to hear the Megillah. So the question is, what do you mean? Listening to the Megillah, that is Torah. It's Tanakh. It's a book of the scripture. Why mevatlan Torah? And the answer is that for a Torah scholar who could study Torah on a very deep level, to sit in a shul filled with annoying children, with noisemakers, and listen to the Megillah that he could read in 6 minutes, and instead he hears it read for 40 minutes, for him, in a way, that's bittul Torah. That's not the way he's able to learn Torah. So we say mevatlan Torah. It's very important to hear the Megillah in a big crowd with lots of noise and hear every word. I know it's an oxymoron. Figure it out. But that's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah. And bereva mahadras mel dafkin in a large way. And this, my friends, is the difference in hakel and the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. Hakel is a mitzvah which is mahava hischachos, which brings us a fresh, new, novel reacceptance of Kiyum HaMitzvot. At Hakel, we were there together. What did the king read? Simple verses. He didn't give a deep shir. He didn't give this deep lecture on the meaning of the verses. He simply read the verses. From the biggest Torah scholar to the small, ignorant child, everybody heard the same thing. The Melech read the same thing, the same verses. It was something that united all of us in a common pursuit of standing before Hashem and listening to the leader of the Jewish people read the Torah. It's a mitzvah tziburis. It's a communal mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that unites us all. This represents the hischachos. This represents the refreshing, the renewal of the idea of nasa. Conversely, the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, of writing the Torah, this is all about limud haTorah, as we mentioned. The whole purpose of writing the Torah is that you actually study the Torah. And that's something which is individualized. It says, that's the idea of, goes back to write the Torah, and it says, V'lamda, the Pasuk finishes off. Kis v'lechem es ha-shira, write the shira. Why? V'lamda, and learn it, and teach it. This is a personal thing. And that's because each and every one of us has a sacred duty, not only of uniting with the rest of Am Yisrael to do mitzvahs, but also to refresh and to renew our bond to study Torah as per our own possibility and our own capabilities. And here we see the last two mitzvahs of the Torah then emphasize both Nasa and Nishma. We should do all the mitzvahs with joy. We should study it with depth and profundity. And as a result of Meretz Hashem, we should merit the Torah Chadasha Me'iti Tetzei with the coming of Mashiach, Bemheira, will be a miracle. Amen.